everybody. My name is Julie Hilliard, and I am so excited to be involved in this project, talking about how to teach or give suggestions about how to teach general conference talks. And I love general conference, so this is really exciting to me. And I also love teaching. I am the co-host of a podcast called Teaching Restored, which I host with a really good friend of mine named Kevin Jones. And what our purpose is to actually talk about how to be better teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ in every facet of our life, whether we are called formally as a teacher or teaching as a parent or whatever the case may be. We're all teachers, right? So today, what I'm hoping to accomplish is to just really give you a drink from a fire hose. Aren't you excited? You're going to choke a little bit. I want to give you as many ideas as I possibly can in this really short window that I've been given, just that might kind of spark something within your own mind and might resonate with you and help you as you go to teach some of these talks. And the talk that I'm going to be talking about today is actually the talk by Elder Razban called Words Matter. Now, I love words. Like, I totally love words. And so this is my jam. One of the things that I thought you could do kind of as an icebreaker to get people talking, especially if you're teaching the youth, because you know you got to get them talking before they'll even participate in class, right? Ask them some questions that they will for sure be able to answer. Talk to them about how we make connections with other people. And as they're giving you answers, think about how many of those kind of strategies for connection or ways that we connect involve words. So they're going to throw things at you like, oh, we give compliments. We have good conversations. And those are the word ones because that's on my mind. But they'll give you several that will involve words. And then I would flip it on its head and maybe ask them, what are some of the things that cause disconnect? And see if you can get them brainstorming. And again, keep track in your mind of the things that involve words. And that will help you to kind of lead into this discussion. So what we're talking about today, I took notes, I put them on a handout, and I'm hoping that handout will be useful. And I have a few slides that I want to share as well. And I want to start with a specific slide. It's going to look weird. That's not the right slide. I want to start with a different slide. This is the slide I want to talk about. Okay. So this is what is called our path to action, or it's kind of how we experience the world. And what you see in front of you is not in order. And so one of the things that I would maybe suggest, because this gets great conversation going, is that you ask people to put it in sequence. And ironically, they will almost always struggle. So let me show you the sequence. That's on my next slide. And so the sequence here kind of is pretty intuitive once you look at it and kind of go, oh yeah, I'm processing. We see or hear something that's kind of like a stimulus, right? And then we write a story about that thing. And our story is kind of how we filter it through our experiences and things like that. But it's how we interpret whatever happened. And then that interpretation causes a feeling in us. And that feeling leads to an action or our response. So I often ask people in this, what do you have control over? And almost everybody will say, I have control over how I act, right? And then people will often say, I have control over my feelings. And so you can push them and be like, oh, really? Can you will yourself to feel differently? A lot of people would argue that you have control over your feelings. But I do think that a really valid point to make is that we don't have control over our feelings. Our feelings are the product of our stories. And so what we think about is what causes our feelings. And what we think about influences our actions. We're going to talk about that more a little bit later. This is just kind of maybe a fun framework that you might want to use for this talk. Now, I want to read a quote by Elder Razban, and I've got that up that I want to put up in front of me right now. So this is his talk. This is Words Matter. And as you get started, it's just right down like the third paragraph, he says, they, meaning words, are the bedrock of how we connect. So you can start to maybe pull on some of the things that you guys talked about in terms of what helps you to connect, right? And some of the things that involved words. They represent our beliefs, morals, and perspectives. So they represent our stories, right? Our thoughts. Now, he says this, and I think this is really important. Sometimes we speak words. Other times we listen or we hear words or we read words, right? Words set a tone. They voice our thoughts, feelings, and experiences, either for good or for bad. So let's go back to my slide for just a second. And I think about how when we talk about how we experience things, let's talk about these two actions that he brings up for just a second. under ACT, we have two things. We have what we speak, right? And then the other thing we have is how we hear things, or what we, like, we listen to words, right? Okay, so what I really think is a fun idea is to bring up the idea that we have a choice. And I think we often don't think about the fact that we can choose what we say, right? Things don't just, like, bleh out of our mouth. But this is even more kind of intriguing. We also get to choose what we hear. You can choose what you hear. So I thought that might be a fun way to introduce this, and it'll give you some really great dialogue along the way, specifically as we dive into these three areas that come up in his talk. So let's look at his talk again for just a second. And there are these three areas that he talks about in his talk. He talks about, first, the Lord's words matter. Second, he's going to talk about a little bit farther down that the words of prophets matter. And then lastly, he's going to talk about the fact, and this is way down, that our words matter. So I personally think that that's like a fantastic framework. And so I would go scroll, scroll, scroll up to the very beginning of the talk. And I would say, okay, let's talk about the Lord's words first. And then this, oh my gosh, I can think of so many fun ways that you could talk about the Lord's words. So what I would suggest, or just one way to start the conversation, is to say, what is the word of God? What are the words of the Lord? Now, I often like to get people on their phones. If you're teaching the youth, tell them, I know if you're not looking at what I think you're looking at. I can see if you're texting. Like their little thumbs are a clue. But you can trust them because you want them to be able to navigate this. So take them to this page that shows them their different options when it comes to studying the scriptures, and show them how to actually find different resources. And so I would say, okay, go to Study Helps. And then go to Guide to the Scriptures. And I'm doing that right now, as you can see in front of you. And then have them look up words. So there I clicked on W. And if you look up, you've got Word. And if you click on Word, it takes you to, you know, Jesus Christ, and one of his titles being the Word. But then right below it, it talks about the Word of God. And it's really cool because here you get like a definition for the Word of God. And so you can kind of dig into this definition. And I love how it talks about it being, you know, messages, instructions, commandments from God. And he talks about different ways that you can receive those. You can receive them by revelation, or you can receive them through his chosen servants. And we're going to talk more about them later in his talk. So talking about this definition really quickly, there is a quote in his talk that says that the word of God surpasses all other expressions. So what a great opportunity to have a conversation about, well, where do we find his words, right? And then how are his words represented or described in scriptures? And so one of the things that I put into my notes is just a whole list of scriptures and notes related specifically to how different ways that it's symbolically represented, like the liahona, the iron rod, or different ways that it's talked about in scriptures, more powerful than a two-edged sword, you know, just some of those references. And you could pick and choose from those, some of the different ways that, or different parts of it that you want to discuss specifically. But man, there are so many awesome ways to approach this. And so I also thought then it might be kind of cool to take this back to this idea of choice. So I'm going to go back to my slides for just a second. Now, when you look at these choices here, I thought, what if you were to take the word of God and talk about how we choose to hear it? So going to my next slide, you've got the Lord's words, right? And you, what are some of the choices you make? Like you choose whether or not you're going to take it in. You choose whether or not you're going to like run it through your own filter. You choose if you're going to tune it out completely. And so you might want to talk about some of the different choices that we make about how we hear God's word. And you might even talk about, you know, the influences that go into how we interpret it. You know, for example, we're influenced by the environment in our home. We're influenced by social circumstances, different mores and norms that we're accustomed to, traditions, culture, etc. And those things play into how we actually choose to hear the Lord's words. And so what I did is I kind of just put a couple of different scriptures that might represent those different paths of choice that you could go down. And I would invite you to look some of those up. And so you could also take them if you wanted to the topical guide. So let me show you back on on my screen really quickly. When you look at the Word of God under, not topical guide, excuse me, under guide to the scriptures, you're going to find a whole ton of references. Well, if you were to go also to the topical guide, you're going to find similarly references to the words. See, I'm taking you through it. Look at me. Ba, 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 ba. There are a lot more things on this list. It's taking me longer to scroll. I'm wasting precious time. And I'm singing to you about it, which is probably not good. There we go. Word of God. Now, there are like a billion gazillion references here. I think it's 129. And so invite people to kind of pull out from those resources different scriptures that might represent how we could choose to hear the Word of God. That also could lead to a great discussion about personal revelation. And you could even look categorically for scriptures that would fit that subject. Okay, let's go back to my slide for just a second. One of the other things that I would consider if I was you, haha, this is a fun way to do it. I would consider asking, as you're talking a little bit about that choice, asking some of these types of questions. So when we choose to properly hear the Word of God, how do we interact with the Word of God? And, you know, for example, what are some descriptive words? You know, do we hearken? Do we cling to? Do we hold fast to? And you can find scriptures that illustrate all sorts of different words. And you might even ask them a little bit about their personal experience with that. Also, I loved the idea of when you're listing some of those descriptive words, maybe even having a discussion about what the contrast looks like when you're tuning it out. What, you know, what are some of the ways that you're interacting? You know, you may be ignoring, choosing not to read your scriptures, etc., can lead to a really authentic, honest discussion, and maybe even talk about some of the struggles, because a lot of us land in between. Maybe we're not super conscious about that choice. So one of the other questions I might consider asking is, how do those interactions, particularly when we're really interacting properly, how do those interactions bless our lives? And I've given you some resources with a whole list of different notes that might describe how they bless our lives from the scriptures. It's awesome. There are so many. So there is another quote in his talk. Let me grab it really quickly. He says, oh, wrong one. Bah, bah, bah. So he says, we hear him in the words of scripture, but do we let them just sit on the page, or do we recognize he is speaking to us? And do we change? And this is a great opportunity to ask an introspective question. An introspective question is really working to get at what feelings are in their heart and bringing them into their words. This is like testimony time. I think one of the reasons that we're asked to actually put words to our testimony is because when we speak words, it actually helps us to solidify our thoughts. Sometimes we correct ourselves. Sometimes when we're forced to put words to it, we think about it harder. I think this is one of the reasons that we're asked to share our testimonies. And so a great way to kind of approach this is to have a discussion about, you know, ask an introspective question and have a discussion about that. So for example, an introspective question might be, hold on, I wrote it down because I kind of have to think about my questions and write and rewrite them. That's like a great exercise, by the way. Would you describe what you are currently doing to study the scriptures as fill in the blank, holding fast, clinging, blah, 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 go through that list, right? If not, what do you need to change? And you could either have a discussion about that, or it could just be a reflective question. Okay, so a bunch of additional notes on my notes page that will be connected to this. Let's go on and let's talk about the prophet's words for just a second. Now, I don't actually have anything more on my slide right now. Let me go ahead. I'll share my screen in just a second related to his talk. Here we go. Words of the prophets matter. Okay, so now when you're talking about this, I would invite you to reference a couple of scriptures, specifically in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 38 and 68, verse 4, because I think it's important to note that, you know, if it comes from the prophets, it's the same thing as if it's coming directly from God himself. And then have a discussion about why. Why do the words of prophets matter? And I would encourage you to actually apply this specifically to, and you could do this both ways, actually, specifically to modern prophets. And then here are some of the discussion questions I might suggest. Like, here are some questions to maybe prime the pump. Things like, what are some of the things that prophets talk about today that would not have been on the radar of ancient prophets. See if you can get them to kind of, you know, make the case for why we have modern prophets. Another is, what types of themes do you hear in general conference that are unique to our day? And I might even encourage you to contrast themes that we hear in society, themes that we hear in social media, and how that differs, or themes that we would read about in a self-help podcast, or a self-help book, or listen to in a self-help podcast, or something like that, and how that might differ from the counsel that we receive from our prophets. It's a great opportunity to have a discussion and actually really gauge where people are in terms of their mindset. Another one is to actually kind of go through and say, give me a mind dump. Let's talk about what are some of the specific things you heard in, like, what stood out to you from the last general conference, and talk about what people just remember. And when you're working with the youth, they're going to give you like dead face. And so you might even invite them to take out their phones and just, hey, quick little scroll through, even see if there's something that you just come across. Pick a talk at random. Just get them into these talks so that they even have an element of interest if there's not something that they remember. Maybe they napped through it, whatevs, right? So I would encourage you to ask what resonated with them. And then an introspective question might be, why do the words of prophets matter to you? Why do you care? Like, how does it impact your life? You know, what are some of the things you do differently because of what you hear from the prophets? And get them thinking about why that's a blessing in their lives. I think that that's a really great opportunity for an uplifting conversation as well, and some, you know, sharing of testimonies. The goal of comments is obviously to help everyone come closer to Christ. And so if there's any opportunity that you have to ask a question that prompts that type of discussion, I think it's fantastic. And you have to kind of work to frame your questions so that they become more introspective. All right, so one other approach might be to actually back off and say, okay, pick your favorite prophet from the scriptures. What is a theme that you note from them? Why does that resonate with you? And talk a little bit about prophets, words of the prophets in that regard. All right, finally, I want to go back to the correct tab. Okay, I want to go back to his talk for one more second, and then I have one more thought on the slide. This is my favorite. This isn't my favorite. I love the words of the Lord and the words of prophets. Maybe that didn't come out right, but I love this topic so much. I'm going to be honest. Our words matter. I have some very strong feelings about this. One of the things that I do in my life, I was going to make some joke about my real life versus my fake life, but I guess it's my real life. One of the things that I do professionally is I teach a little bit about leadership and communication. And so communication's a big deal. Words are a huge part of it. And so this is really, really important to me. And I love how he kind of approaches this. So a way to prime the pump again, to get the conversation going about this, might be to ask a question about, what are some of the places that we use words besides in direct dialogue with someone, like in conversation face-to-face? Get them talking about social media, texting, emailing, even get them talking about notes that we write. Get them, you know, kind of thinking about that, because we use words in so many places besides the words that come out of our mouths. And those words matter as well. And talk a little bit about this idea that he presents here. In our emoji-filled world, our words still matter. What a great conversation if you were to say, well, wait a minute, emojis, like, isn't a picture worth 1,000 words? Aren't emojis like a picture? You know, why? Why, you know, does that, and ask them, what do you think? Does that apply? Is that true? Is it not true? Great opportunity for a conversation there, right? And then talking about specifics about why our words matter. So one of the things, there's this paragraph that just, bam, right here, and it's just below that quote about the emojis. He says, our words can be supportive or angry, joyful or mean, compassionate or tossed aside. In the heat of the moment, words can sting and sink painfully deep into the soul and stay there, like they last. Our words on the internet, texting, social media, or tweets take on a life of their own. We never know how they're going to be taken or interpreted, correct? And we don't get the feedback of body language and things like that that we do when we're having a face-to-face conversation with someone. So they may be even more dangerous. In our families, especially with husbands, wives, and children, our words can bring us together or drive a wedge between us. Great opportunity to pull on the conversation about how words help us to connect versus disconnect. So I want to go back to my slides for just a second. And the slide that right here. Okay. And I want you to think about what your words stem from. So if you look at this slide, words are kind of our response or how we act. They come out of our mouth, right? But what do they come from? What drives them? It's our thoughts or our stories. So I have this exercise. So I used to teach at the prison and I taught men in the level right below maximum security, a course, like a life skills course. And there's this exercise that I used to just love to do with them. And I'm going to show it to you just really fast because this might be a great way if you choose to use this kind of path to action idea to illustrate the idea that our words actually come from our thoughts. And sometimes our thoughts are even a little bit unconscious. So here's what I would do. So I would take I think I might be able to make myself full screen. I'm not sure. Let's see if I can do that really fast. There we go. Perfect. Okay. So you take a washer and you tie it to the end of a piece of twine and you ask everybody to take it and hold it right up in front of their eyes and hold it still. And then ask them to think in their mind, right, left, right, left, right, left. And you'll notice I'm not trying to make that happen. I promise you, I'm not lying. There is something that happens when we start to think about it in our mind. So you can say, they'll be like, whoa, why is that happening? Yeah, so cool. So then take it and say, okay, hold it in front of your face again. And then think in your mind, front, back, front. You can tell he's already thinking because he started doing it right away, right? So it's kind of a cool way to make them go, so cool. And the point is that our thoughts even unconsciously influence our behavior. And so if you think about it, the way that you think about someone or something, the story that you write about it can even unconsciously influence the words that come out of your mouth. So what's the answer to make sure you use better words? Check your stories, check your thoughts. So let's take this to a little bit of an application lesson. And this is a way for people to maybe, make it personal. Let's look at my slides again. And I've got this chart. On to, there we go, right there. So I would invite everybody, and this chart will be accessible to you as well if you choose to write down four different relationships. Maybe ask them to consider different ones categorically. And then think about a time when they maybe botched it with them. What did they say? And then have them encourage them to maybe say, oh, this is the story that I wrote about it. And go through this exercise. Here's what I said. Here's the story that I was thinking. And then ask them to ponder, what is a new story, a different story that I could write that was informed by the Holy Ghost? This sometimes can take time because you need to pray about it or think about it. But it also can be something that you're like, oh, here are some alternatives for how maybe this could have actually, been framed in my mind. And then note how that might change what they say. So it's a great opportunity to go through an exercise to make this really personal. It's pretty easy for me to come up with those relationships and things that I said where I was botching it. And maybe you're not quite that quick to speak as I am and have a little bit more control over your words. I am a fast talker. And sometimes I say things and then I'm like, ooh, and there are opportunities for repentance there. Elder Razban actually goes through and suggests some very specific phrases that are important for us to keep in our vocabulary, including things like, I'm sorry. And thank you. And I love you. And it's really a beautiful talk. I just want to end by sharing my testimony about the power of words, about the power specifically of the Word of God. It has changed my life. It frames and influences everything that I do. I love the scriptures with like a mad passion. They are such a blessing to us. And they do help to influence our thoughts, which influences our behavior and helps us to become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom I love so dearly. And I'm so grateful for his example and the words that he used, not just the words that are in scriptures, but the words that we consider that he shares with us through his living prophets. I strive to follow his example, as I know you do, but we're all going to mess up. So I'm also grateful for his atonement and his mercy as I work to become better every day. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.